Let's just pray again before we lose that sense of worship and prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we draw near to your throne of grace this morning again, Lord God, thanking you that in the time of praise and worship, in the time of just singing those songs and, Lord, letting those lyrics just soften our hearts in that sense and make our hearts receptive to you, we thank you that your Spirit is at work. We thank you that he's here. We thank you, Lord God, that you're speaking to us, that even now, Lord God, emphasizing the need for love. You are love, and you have told us to love one another. Help us, Lord, to do that in a pure, in the holy, in a God-glorifying way. We ask, Lord, that you would now speak to us through your living and active word, teaching us your truth, so that we can continually be set free as we walk with you, walking in that truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, good morning again, everyone. As you know, we're going through Shiloh's statement of faith, and our series is called What Shiloh Believes. And it's actually really interesting because it's drawing me to a point of recognizing what I believe after 20 odd years, nearly in Shiloh, questioning what actually do we believe as a fellowship. And I know we've had a statement of faith in the hallway from day one. I wonder just how many of us actually have ever taken the time, bar this series, had ever taken the time to read the whole statement of faith. And so in our What Shiloh Believes series, we're beginning to look at the next doctrine in the statement of faith, which again will require, nothing ever comes easy in Shiloh, it will require some weeks to try to understand what it means. In particular, what it means for those who believe in Jesus. That's so important. Like I'm saying tonight, you know, what in this broken world is happening, and I said at the announcements this morning, what in this broken world is happening is sort of evangelistic. But the message tonight about the broken world is to warn Christians. You are a born-again Christian. You can call yourself a born-again Christian. You can call yourself whatever you like, but the reality is, you could be worshipping a false god as a born-again Christian. You could be worshipping a false god. How do you know you're not? Or worse, how do you know you're not worshipping God falsely? So these matters are so important to us. And it's the same as with this What Shiloh Believes in our statement of faith. We're trying to ground ourselves in the truth of God's word. So we're trying to understand what these doctrines mean, but what in particular they mean to us as Christians. And in this doctrine, we're going to learn more about Jesus, the God-man, and his work of atonement for all sinners through his death on the cross. That's the statement. When you get to the back, you'll see we're at that point. His work of atonement for all sinners through his death on the cross. And it's going to be divided into four sections. The four sections are this: his mission, that is the work that he came to do; his purpose, atonement, we'll look at what that flash word means; his beneficiaries, that is for all sinners; and his means of accomplishing what he had come to do, and that is through his death on the cross. Now, if I read this in reverse, it would be a bit like Denise's talk when she spoke on the essential deity of Jesus and said that we could sum it up here in a sentence and just go home. And it could be summed up simply with, it is essential, absolutely essential, that Christians believe in the essential deity of Jesus. It's essential that people believe that Jesus is God. So, his work of atonement for all sinners through his death on the cross, in reverse, would say this: through his death on the cross for all sinners, atonement was made and his work complete. We could just pack up now and go home. But if we foolishly only accepted this simplistic view and neglected to look more deeply into the doctrine, then we're going to miss, if we fail to do this, we will miss some wonderful gems that the Lord has for us in his word. So as we've already seen, Jesus, the Son of God, became a man, supernaturally conceived by a work of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary through the natural birthing process that he had created. Why would people think it unusual that if God is going to become a man, that he would be born into this world through the natural birthing process that he had created for all babies to be born through? As the Son of God, that's his deity. He is God. He is fully God, fully man. He's not 50% God and 50% man. He is fully God and fully man. So as the Son of God and as the perfect man, there's his humanity. Only Jesus could accomplish the task for which he was sent. From childhood, Jesus understood that he was sent by his Father in heaven to complete a specific mission and to undertake a work that no one else could do. Does anybody know why no one else could do it? Because all people are sinners. All human beings are sinners born in sin, and Jesus, he was supernaturally conceived when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. He was conceived in her womb, and he was born into this world without sin. No human could do this work because all humans are sinners. Jesus, in his perfect Godhead and perfect humanity, had come to do this. As the hymn writer says, there was no other good enough to pay the price for sin. There was no other good enough because all mankind have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. Now, when some people think about the man Jesus, they have different views about him. Some suggest that Jesus was just a good man whom God used to perform miracles and signs and wonders, and he went about teaching people the word of God and all about the kingdom of God. And this is evident by the numbers who actually flocked to hear him. Anywhere you read in the Gospels where Jesus goes, great crowds followed him. Great crowds came to him to be healed of all kinds of sicknesses and diseases and disabilities. So we know that wherever he went, he preached the kingdom of God. He preached the word of God. He taught people about God and about the kingdom. There's no doubt that this man, Jesus, made an impact in many people's lives. In fact, he still does. And of course, Christians know Jesus is more than just a good man. Well, I hope. I hope as Christians that we know that Jesus is more than just a good man who performed miracles. But are we really aware of the bespoke purpose for which Jesus came? Are we absolutely clear about why Jesus came into this world? And those who were here last week, they're going to answer, well, yeah, the purpose of Jesus coming into the world was to die because a man had to die to pay the price for sin. That's what I said last week, but that's not the answer I'm looking for this morning. If you thought, well, yes, Jesus came to die because a man had to die to pay the price for sin, you would be right. However, the precise purpose for which Jesus came is more explicit. And he knew exactly, Jesus knew exactly why he had come and what he had come to do. Do you know, Christian? Because Jesus is our example. Jesus humbled himself to do the Father's will. He is our example, and he knew exactly why he had come to planet Earth. He knew exactly what God the Father wanted him to do. As Christians who have the Holy Spirit living within us, do you know what God's specific purpose is for your life? Don't ramble on about, oh yes, he wants me to live this way and do this. I'm asking you a clear question this morning. Do you know what God's specific purpose is for your life? If you don't, you're going to hell. I'm only joking. Just see, everybody suddenly has sat up. What is God's purpose for my life? That's what I said to myself during the week. Imagine if the answer, if you didn't have the answer, God says, then you don't know me at all. Imagine if he said that. Do you know why you have been born into this world? In fact, do you know why you have been born again in this world? Now, I don't want you to give me the Westminster Confession of Faith Shorter Catechism answer. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's not the universal purpose in that sense. That's not the thing that I'm looking for this morning. What I'm asking is, do you know what God's specific purpose is for your life? Now, if I were to say, put up your hands, anyone who can answer that this morning, I'd be shocked if anybody did. After almost, don't even think about it, Susan, or you get taken out and stoned. After almost 35 years as a Christian, I still don't know God's specific purpose for my life. And I've been seeking, like most of you here, I've been seeking God's face for many, many years and saying, Lord, lead me in your will, lead me in your purpose, show me what it is that you want me to do, Lord. And I don't know. I used to go to work with a group called YWAM, Youth with a Mission, years ago, and they all seemed to know God really, really well. They were like, it was as if God just constantly talked to these people. It used to wind me up no end. And I used to think, I don't even think I'm a Christian. And they would, you know, they'd say, what's God's purpose for your life, Tally? Well, I don't know. How do you know? How do you know? And yet when you say, well, what's God's purpose? Oh, God has led me to do this, and God has shown me this, and God has shown, God was telling me this during the week, and God was saying, and I just thought, I don't think I'm saved. Because I never hear God's voice like that, you know. Or it's either that, or, you know, you think that they must be schizophrenic, or they suffer from personality disorder. It's crazy. After 35 years, almost, of walking with the Lord, I still do not know what his specific purpose is for my life. But then, I thought about this to bring comfort to myself during the week. Did Noah know before God spoke to him about building an ark because there was going to be a flood? Did Noah know what God's specific purpose was for him? Got about his business, got about his life, did what he had to do, and yet for some reason God says, you know what, Noah, I like you, so you're going to live. You have found favor with me, and you're going to live. You, your wife, your three sons, and their three daughters. That's it. The rest of the world's getting wiped out. Did Noah know beforehand? No. Did Joseph know when he was sold into slavery at 17 years of age? Did he know that when his own brothers threatened to kill him, and instead of killing him, human trafficked him and sold him into slavery? Did he know what God's specific purpose was for him? No. When you read near the end of his life about how, when God in his grace actually was behind all of these terrible things that led him into slavery in Egypt, and then he became the second in command of the whole of Egypt just to save the people of Israel. That you hear him talking about how his brother said, oh, we're going to get done now that our dad's dead, and Joseph's going to do us in because of what we've done to him. Because we heard his cries and his screaming as we sold him into slavery. You know, that's what Joseph went through. Do you think Joseph, as he was crying and screaming, says, well, I know God has a specific purpose in this? When you're going through hell on earth, do you seriously sit there and say, well, God has a specific purpose in this? You don't. You pull your hair out and you do whatever else that you have to do. Did King David know, as he tended sheep on the mountains of Israel, what God's specific purpose was for him? His dad just says, well, look after them sheep. And that was it. He walked out all hours, day and night, out looking after the sheep, up over the hills and down into the valleys, took the sheep over through looking to find green pastures. And he fought off wild animals just to protect the sheep. But while he was sitting out in the mountains of Israel looking up at the skies, he would write things like, oh Lord my God, how marvelous is your name, how majestic is your glory. Look at the stars in the heaven. They just speak of your glory and all. And he could see all of these wonderful things. But did he know he was going to become the king of Israel? Did he know he was going to be possibly Israel's greatest king? Did he know what God's specific purpose was for him? No. Did the disciples of Jesus or the apostle Paul, did they know what God's specific purpose was for them? No. So none of us know for certain until God reveals it what his specific purpose is for us. But make no mistake, he has one. And that is so important this morning. We do not know. The general, overall, universal purpose, I suppose, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. In other words, God says, get about your business, and when I need you to do something, I'll tell you. And that's basically what He's saying. But make no mistake, God has a specific purpose for you. And I don't know what it is, because I don't even know mine. However, for Jesus, it was different. He knew exactly what God the Father's specific purpose was for Him. You know very little about the life of Jesus. You get the birth part of Jesus, then you miss a lot until He's 12 years old. And at 12 years old, while visiting Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover with His parents and His family, Luke's Gospel records for us that after the celebrations were finished and everybody was heading home, they were nearly a day's journey away, and no one noticed that Jesus wasn't actually in the company. And so the family had to return to Jerusalem in search of Him. And his parents found Jesus in the temple, and we're told He was listening to the teachers and asking them questions. And Mary, his mum, told Jesus that they had been worried sick about Him. What parent wouldn't be worried when their child goes missing? You think they're in the company with you, and then suddenly you're a day's journey somewhere and you realize actually they're not here. Bit like a Home Alone. Mary said, told Jesus, me and your dad were worried sick. But listen to what Jesus says at 12 years old. Why are you looking for me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? Why did you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? At 12 years old, Jesus knew what the Father's specific purpose was for Him. At 12 years old, He knew the Father had sent Him to complete a work prepared for Him. You have been born again by the Spirit of the living God. If you are a Christian, you have been born again, and God has a specific work for you to complete. He may not reveal that yet. It may be a work on your deathbed where you could be gasping for your last breath and the nurse beside you is trying to pump heroin into your system to stop pain, and you're just simply saying, I'm going to see Jesus, and that will so bring her under conviction that she'll give her life to the Lord. Pete Turtle was in the early prayer meeting this morning, and he was telling us about this Catholic woman who had gone to Mass all her life. She'd been going every Saturday and Sunday going to her Mass. She had always loved it. She was a devout Roman Catholic. And she went then with a man into a gospel hall somewhere in Donegal. And she heard the gospel once, and she gave her life to Jesus. And that man who said, you want to go to that meeting, there was a specific purpose that God had prepared him to do. God has specific purposes for you to do. A specific, might only be one thing, but that one thing could change the world. What about the person, for example, who would have led someone like Billy Graham to the Lord? One man telling him about Jesus, Billy Graham giving his life to Jesus, and what happens? He lifts millions and millions of souls to Christ. That one specific purpose that God has for you, only you can do. Just like only Jesus could come and die on the cross to pay the price for sin, the specific purpose that God has for you to do is a work that was prepared before the foundation of the world for you to do, no one else. And guess what? It's going to be done. At 30 years old, Jesus began His ministry, which involved traveling throughout all Israel, preaching and teaching in the synagogues and healing people of all kinds of sicknesses, diseases, and disabilities. All of these miraculous occurrences, they are not the specific purpose. They're just what I call the fruit of His mission. But the preaching, the teaching, the miracles, they were not the mission. The fundamental purpose for which He came, it wasn't the healings, it wasn't the raising the dead, it wasn't the giving sight to the blind. That was not the fundamental purpose for which Christ came into the world. That was not His mission. That was the fruit of His mission. And dare I say, even His death on the cross wasn't the mission for which He came. Everybody thinks that is the mission, but it's not. And we can all say, and I love to sing it about mission accomplished and 'tis finished. The Messiah dies. It's beautiful. But that was not the fundamental purpose. That was not the specific purpose for which Christ Jesus came into the world. In fact, Jesus makes it clear that he knew exactly why he had come to earth. Speaking in Capernaum, which seems to be his headquarters, speaking in Capernaum to a crowd who followed him, Jesus said these words in John chapter 6, in verses 38 to 40. Jesus speaking says this, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Hear that? Jesus knew exactly what God's specific purpose was for him. All of the other things in the life of Jesus are just the fruit of his ministry. Jesus knew the specific purpose. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Jesus knew the specific purpose of the Father was to come to do the Father's will, and the fruit of that was that those who believe in me, when I have come to do the Father's will, those who believe in me, I promise you, I will give you eternal life, and you will be raised up on the last day. "I have come not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus knew that as his earthly ministry drew to a close, he knew that the mission was accomplished. As he went, for example, into the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus reiterates how he knew exactly what God the Father's specific purpose was for his life. Now think about this. At 12 years old, did you not know that I should be about my Father's business? In his ministry at 30 years old or whatever else, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And hours before he would die, he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and what does he say? "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus knew what God's specific purpose was for his life. Jesus knew why he had been born into this world. The fundamental purpose for Jesus coming into the world was to do his Father's will. Everything else was secondary. Every divine appointment that he had, whether it was with people possessed by demons, blind men on the side of the road, raising Lazarus from the dead, everything else was secondary to doing the Father's will. And out of his love for his Father who sent him, Jesus came to do his Father's will. How beautiful is that? Because before the foundation of the world, when the three persons of the Godhead discussed this plan, Jesus knew the suffering and the agonies that he would endure. He knew the stripes that would bring our healing that he would have to bear. He knew what it would be like to feel that sense of being cut off from the Father when he would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He knew all of this. And yet, out of his love for his Father, he came to do his Father's will. We know that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. We know Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But the primary purpose of Jesus coming into the world was to do his Father's will. Such is the love of Jesus for his Father, he would die for him. I listen to us. I listen to myself. "Oh, Jesus, I love you." Especially when you're singing a really nice song. you know, one that really just sort of uplifts you. Oh, Jesus, I would do anything. And then Jesus says, will you die for me? Oh, well, I'm not so sure. Carnation sweets on that night. Do you understand? Suddenly, when you're confronted with this, when you're confronted, well, do you really love me? Do you really love me? Will you fulfill the specific purpose that I have prepared for you? Will you really do it? Well, Jesus did. Because Jesus, such was his love for his Father, he would die for him. But such is the love of Jesus for you. Such is the love of Jesus for us. He would die for us. They've said it many, many times. If you had been the only person worth saving on this earth, Jesus still would have come and did this for you. That's his love for you. How can we not love Jesus more each day? There is no love like the love of Jesus. The greatest work that Jesus ever did, the greatest good work that Jesus ever did, was to die on the cross to pay the price for mankind's sin. But what motivated him to do it was his love for his Father and wanting to do his will. Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? I have come not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus knew throughout his life what God's specific purpose was for him. He knew why he had been born into this world, to do his Father's will. Christian, you've been born again by the Spirit of God to do the Father's will. You may not know what the specific purpose is that God has for you just yet, but he has one. Believe me, he has one. But you can do the Father's will by simply living your life for his glory and for his honor. And when the specific is required, you will receive the grace that is necessary to do it. But pray and say, Father, what is your specific purpose for my life, that I might walk in it, that I might fulfill it? That honors the Father. And those who honor the Father, he honors them. This really pleases the Father when he sees his children glorifying Jesus as Lord. He will reveal to you his specific purpose at the right time. Don't beat yourself up about, I'm not sure what God's specific purpose. Don't think, oh, I better fly over to England and join YWAM because they all seem to know. Don't do that. Just in your secret place, commit or purpose in your heart, as I often say, and say to the Lord, Lord, what is your specific purpose for me? And lead me in it, or lead me to it, because he has one. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, you're watching on Facebook or you're listening to our podcast and you're not yet a Christian. Well, let me just ask you, do you know, as a non-believer, as a non-Christian, do you know what God's specific purpose is for your life? Because you see, whether you believe in God or not, God still has a specific purpose for your life. Do you know why you have been born into this world? You're not a mistake. Didn't just happen. God purposed this from before the foundation of the world, that you would be here in this generation. Do you know why God has brought you into this world? God has a purpose for your life. To know it and live it, you must do what he says. Confess your sin. That means agree with God that you are a sinner. He doesn't need you to rhyme off all the sins that you've ever committed. He knows. It means agree with God that you are a sinner. Then Say to the Lord, I repent. I turn away from that life and that way, and I will turn and put my trust in Jesus, your Son, who came to do your will, and I will yield my life to him and do his will. If you do this, if you confess your sin, if you repent and believe in Jesus Christ, then God says, you shall be saved. And he who came to do his Father's will promises you that you will have forgiveness of sins and everlasting life, and you will be raised up to heaven in the last day. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your word today. We want to thank you, Jesus, for the incredible love that you have for the Father. A love, Lord God, that before the foundation of the world, when you and the Holy Spirit and the Father sat down to come up with this plan, you knew all the horrors that you would face. And still, you came to do the Father's will. And when we think of your love for the Father, it just blows us away, Lord Jesus. It just overwhelms us. And then when we think of your love for us, Lord, we are just completely lost for words. Thank you, Jesus, because you also reveal the Father's love for us. Because the very reason that he asked you to come into this world to die, to do his will, was so that people like us could be saved by his grace and have everlasting life. Father, thank you for your great love. Lord, we know indeed there was no other good enough to pay the price for sin. Only Jesus, by doing your will, could unlock the gate of heaven to let us in. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.